I'm glad to have you back, Myron, for another installment of History and Our Best Future. And since you were out to Standing Rock, twice actually, you had a chance on the ground to see how things are going there. And you certainly are inflamed with passions about the Protectors. As you look back on the history of the interactions between the settlers, primarily those of European descent coming over to this continent, and the face-offs with those who are already here, all the various tribes now known generally as Native Americans, I'm wondering if you can comment on the treaties and treaty rights that were brokered as part of the relentless westward push of the colonists. In particular, I'm wondering if those treaties, especially the clauses of the treaties which promised protection, control, and natural resources to the indigenous tribes, if those treaties were lived up to, or if there were some yes, some no, or to what degree the invaders and their descendants have lived up to the terms of the treaties. Have you seen a time and place where those treaty rights have been respected and Native Americans have been able to control their land? Or has it always been by the breaking of the treaties that you can recognize them?
Well, I'm not going to admit to knowing every specific thing about every tribe in the country and the treaty rights and mining rights, but we know what the big picture is. And the big picture is one of consistent loss and damage to the environment. I can think of maybe possibly one exception, and that would be with the Alaska pipeline, which was complained about by the fossil fuel industry because it had to be built to such incredible specifications for caribou migration and for some of the native rights on the North Slope of Alaska. But generally speaking, again, I just know that there's been a chipping away, and I just looked up the Navajo and the mining, the uranium mining, and I know that they've had some success in getting some cleanup efforts started. But the damage has been done. The uranium was mined, the people are sick, and the land is destroyed, probably forever. And now it's just a matter of saying, well, oh, you know, we'll try and clean it up. That's what's so unique, I think, about the Standing Rock experience, is that you have this bringing together of so many people from all across the country that are going to meet at this sacred site and stop this one pipeline. So it is really special.
Is it because it's native rights that it's special, or is there something special about the environmental coalition that's coming around to support this? What are the components of Standing Rock?
In a event like this, it's always multiple things that come together. The initial gathering of people way back in April and the complete press ignorance of the whole thing going on for months. You know, I don't believe ABC has even mentioned it once yet, is part of the whole story. And it grew, because of the indigenous people starting it, and then so many other people who are simply concerned about where we're going and that these pipelines are constant. There is an argument that says that we've got so many pipelines, what do you care if there's another one? Well, I think the easy answer to that is so many of our pipelines that we have are so old, and our infrastructure, every time it's looked at, is given a C or below by our engineers. We need to think about fixing those old pipelines or getting them possibly out of the ground before we keep adding new ones and hold the new ones to an incredibly high standard so that we don't have the number of leaks that we consistently have. There are a number of environmental groups that have rallied around the natives out at Standing Rock, and all across the country, the uproar has been tremendous and is putting a lot of pressure, especially on the banks who are funding it, that possibly we can get this stopped. I won't believe it until it actually happens. I'd like to say something about one of the arguments that I've heard, and that is the, quote, outsiders, unquote, that are coming to North Dakota to stir up trouble. Yes, when I was there, I worked with people from California, from Pennsylvania, from Oklahoma. I met people from all over the country. And so you can say that we were outsiders. I am a native-born North Dakotan. But the outsiders that concern me the most are the police officers from something like seven different states who volunteered to go out to Standing Rock. One has to think that nobody gets ordered by their police captain to go to Standing Rock. These officers volunteered. That really concerns me because they are truly the outsiders. And the violence that happened during the protection has been so heavily one-sided from the police towards the peaceful protectors that it's very bothersome.